So I moved to Baltimore in 2018 for my dream job, which was as a reporter at the Baltimore Sun. And I had been out of work for a while. The newspaper industry wasn't doing great, and jobs were hard to come by, but it felt like a miracle that the Sun was willing to hire me and put me to work right away. So, as a breaking news reporter, part of my job was to, go out to fires or knock on doors, try to get people to talk to you. And when I was in the newsroom, it was also my job to answer the tip line. So the tip line is exactly what it sounds like. It's a hotline where literally anyone in the community can call into the newsroom and share information about what's going on in Baltimore and tell us where the stories are and give us these tips. And I would say, there were some really good stories that came through the tip line, things that made it into the paper, but the vast majority of them, the calls into the tip line, really had nothing to do with stories. It was hey, you guys forgot to run the answers to this week's crossword puzzle, or people wanted to yell sometimes, they were really mad about how could you possibly run that opinion piece? And I'm like, I'm just a reporter. Sometimes people also just called in with questions, right? Questions that they thought the paper could answer. And I'll never forget this time, a woman called in, and I get emotional just thinking about it still to this day. She hadn't seen her son in a really long time, and she was worried that there was a chance that he had maybe been shot and killed in the streets. And at the time, we maintained a database of all the homicides in the city, and my heart was pounding in my chest as I'm typing his name in, and thank God he was not on the list. But when I hung up with her, I really realized what an enormous responsibility came with picking up the phone every time someone called into the tip line. And it wasn't all doom and gloom either. My story tonight is about the favorite caller who called in all the time. Everyone in the newsroom loved him. His name was Philip, but we knew him better as the speller. And that's because the calls went a little like this. Newsroom, this is Lillian. Greetings, greetings, blessings, my friend. How do you spell tomorrow? T, I'd have to think how many M's, how many R's. But Philip called in kind of a lot. He would have these spelling questions for us. And much to my surprise as a new reporter there, everyone just humored him. And they said, oh yeah, that's, Philip, he calls in, just spells words and he'll hang up. And it happened more than you would think, there'd be a crazy day where everybody's running around and you could overhear, interviews happening and, editors would be shouting, and then above it all, in the distance, someone would be spelling a word. And you would know, oh, there's Philip, guess he's doing well. And no one could really remember how it all started either. We were all sort of conspiratorial and had this theory maybe he's trying to tell us something, maybe if we just string the words together, it's like a tip, or he's telling us to meet in a parking garage or something like that. So I guess I'm conspiratorial too, because that's how I became the keeper of the list. I started writing down the words that Philip was asking us how to spell. And it was really fun too, right? I'd come in for my shift every day and there'd be a post-it note on my desk that was Philip called 4 p.m., Reisterstown. I'm looking at this list over time and it's pretty clear there's no tip in there. He's just, it's random words. But what was also clear was that he was asking more than just spelling questions. He was asking all sorts of things, how do you get from this road to that road? Like driving directions. Or he would ask things like, did Mayor Catherine Pugh ever live in Philadelphia? And my personal favorite was one time he asked, what do dreams about bicycles mean? And, you know, these are like really normal questions, right? Like, we probably all have typed these types of questions into a search engine. It just so happened that Philip's search engine was the Baltimore Sun tip line. I think part of the reason we loved him so much, too, was just that he was like a really friendly guy. And we're journalists, right? Like, our whole career path is trying to answer people's questions, and there was something like really satisfying about being able to answer his so quickly, even on a busy day. You know, it was like a 30-second call, but he was so polite and so earnest, and he would thank us every time. And I am sorry to say that, you know, I lost track of him in the pandemic. Everything really changed then. All the news reporters ended up like working from home for months. We took our laptops, we took our files, and we were like working off of our cell phones for pretty much exclusively. And after a while, our desk phones, which the tip line was hooked up to, they were disconnected completely. So I switched jobs in 2023 and I started working at the Baltimore Banner, which is an online publication. So it's a little different, right? Like, we don't have that old-fashioned tip line in the way that used to exist at a lot of, like, legacy newspapers. We have a tip email address, which you can hit up. You know, there's ways to call reporters. It's just not that, like, hotline in the middle of the newsroom going off. But I still think of Philip all the time, right? Like, I'll have a coworker ask me, like, the other week, someone wanted to know how to spell ellipses, and I thought of Philip. I was like, what happened to that guy? So I knew I was going to come tell this story, and like any self-respecting busybody, I was like, man, I'm going to have to like report this thing out like a little bit more, because I don't really know whatever happened to that list of words, but gosh, I've got to find it. So last week, I started going through my old filing cabinet and digging through, like looking like, where is it? And unfortunately, I think it's lost to time. It is the great tragedy of my career to have lost this list. But what I did find was this ripped scrap of paper with like the little fringe on top still, and Philip's phone number. Yeah. So of course I called him, obviously. And it was crazy, like putting in the call to him, I realized like, I've never been in this position before where I'm calling him with my questions, right? And I had a lot, like, how did it all start? And like, how's he doing? You know, did he make it through the pandemic okay? And like, where is he going to get his questions answered now? Like, is he calling into some other newsroom somewhere? I had to know. So about a day later, he called me back and I heard his voice for the first time in 6 years. And he's doing great. He told me that he's looking forward to turning 65 next month, and he lives in Hamden. I live in Hamden. We've been neighbors like this whole time, which is so crazy. I've like walked my dog by his house. And we had a lovely conversation. He told me that all of it started with a question about NFL players, like when could they start collecting their pensions? And he thought, I know, those reporters at the Sun Papers, they'd probably have an idea. And he called in. And he said he just kept calling because that's who he is. He's a very forward-thinking person. He's an intellectual. He's a Gemini. And he's someone who grew up with like not a lot of resources, but he always knew where to go to get what he needed. And I gave him my number, and he told me that, you know, these days he's calling like mostly friends and people in his social circle when he has a question. And I told him, I hope the next time he has one, he'll think of me as one of them.